The following message is presented by The Upward Look. For more information, go to the website www.upwardlook.org. Now, the message.
Yesterday, I was at the Louisiana Baptist Singing Ministers, and we had a concert last night. And over the last several weeks, our leaders have been sending us emails and reminding us, among other things, to bring the right tie. We have a couple of ties that we wear so that we're all matching, and they reminded us of which tie to bring, and stating in there that we are no longer have any extra ties, so that if you forget yours, you're not going to have one. And so they were reminding us about the tie and our dress to wear in a black coat, and also to bring our music folder and the music and all those things that we needed in order to be prepared and ready for our concert last night. And it was a good concert, and we had a wonderful time together and all. But that prodding of those emails to remind us to be ready. Well, Jesus, we find in Matthew chapter 24 and 25, and we're going to be looking at specifically Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. We find that Jesus in this passage, Matthew 24 and 25, was teaching his disciples about the end of time and was telling them over and over again, be ready, be prepared, be ready. Jesus teaching that truth in the parable that we're going to be looking at tonight, the parable of the 10 virgins, found in Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. As we look at the parable, let's look, we're going to just kind of walk our way through these verses and comment on them as we go through them. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven will be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. A couple of thoughts that as I read that verse, a couple of things that I wanted to share with you. First off, notice that Jesus changes the pattern. He's been saying the kingdom of heaven is like, in most of the parables that we've been looking at, the kingdom of heaven is like, and then he would state the parable. Well, in this verse, in this parable, he says the kingdom of heaven will be. Notice the future tense. The kingdom of heaven will be. Jeff Iorg, who wrote a commentary on the parable, said, this word will be. This word choice emphasizes that this parable is about kingdom-related events that will take place in some unspecified or but definite time in the future. So we have Jesus here beginning a parable, and he says the kingdom of heaven will be, and then into the parable. But notice at the very first word of the verse, he says, then the kingdom of heaven will be compared to. The then refers back to all of the discussion that he's had in chapter 24 relating to the signs of Christ's coming. Back in Matthew 24, verses 3 and 4, the disciples came to Jesus, it says, came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will happen, and what will be the signs of your coming and of the end? And Jesus answered them and said to them, and then Jesus begins this discourse. The disciples and Jesus were on the Mount of Olives, and he shares with them what's going to happen at the end of time. This discourse on Matthew 24 and 25 has been called the Mount of Olives Discourse, or simply the Olivet Discourse. We have the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 that we looked at. Well, this is the other one of the other major sermons or discourses in Matthew, the Olivet Discourse. And it tells, in this discourse, Jesus tells of the perilous times to come, the fact that the phrases wars and rumors of wars, and famines and earthquakes, and tribulation and lawlessness and false Christ, and all of these things that are to perilous things that are to come. Jesus also talks about His glorious return, that the Son of Man is coming on the clouds and gather His people. And He tells the disciples to be ready for His coming. Matthew 24, verse 42 says, Jesus said, "Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming." Be on the alert, He says, for you do not know the day that the Lord is coming. Jesus concludes this discourse with two parables in chapter 25. One that we're looking at tonight, the parable of the 10 virgins, and the one hopefully we'll look at next week on the talents. And then He teaches in the last part of chapter 25 about the judgment. This parable, the 10 virgins, comes at the end of the teaching that Jesus is giving on being ready for the second coming. And He's reinforcing the principle here, be ready for the second coming. Normally, when Jesus taught using parables, His normal procedure has been share the parable and then explain the parable. Well, in this Olivet discourse, He gives the teachings in chapter 24. And then to reinforce that teaching, He gives the parable in chapter 25. This parable then, and its stated principle, is to be ready for the second coming. Verse 1 also says there, as He gives the parable, the 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 10 virgins, or your translation may say 10 maidens or 10 young girls. The word virgin there simply is the idea of a young married girl. And typically in a wedding ceremony, you have a lot of bridesmaids. Well, that's basically the idea here of these 10 young virgins were the bridesmaids for the wedding in that sense. One commentator writes it this way, "The virgins were bridesmaids invited to be part of the wedding ceremony. It was a great honor. They represented all who had been invited to be citizens of God's kingdom, some of whom, as we shall see, will indeed enter the kingdom and some of whom will not. The bridegroom is the Messiah, and the wedding celebration pictures the eschatological wedding feast of Christ." In other words, the feast at the end of times. "All 10 bridesmaids went out to meet the bridegroom, and the foolish ones were disappointed at the end of the story. This seemed to indicate that they represent people who want to be part of the kingdom. Even the unbelieving want to be in heaven for eternity, but they are not wise enough to choose the correct path." It's only been in recent years have I ever heard somebody say, "No, I don't want to go to heaven. I want to go to hell when I die." I've heard that. And I've read stories about that. And most of those people who have stated it that way state, "Well, all of my drinking buddies are going to be there, and we're just going to have one big party together." Well, obviously, they don't know what the Bible teaches about heaven and hell. But most people, when asked, would rather say, "I want to be in heaven. I don't want to be in pain or torment or what, all of eternity." Well, here we see this idea that here are 10 bridesmaids waiting for the bridegroom, indicating all of the people that of the earth. And some are not, even though they want to be a part of the wedding celebration, are not ready for it. It leads us with the idea that some people, even though they say they want to go to heaven, they're not ready. They've not made the preparation for it. And that's what this commentator was basically saying in that paragraph that I read to you. Why the number 10? That was asked in one of the commentaries that I read. Why 10 virgins? I don't know. And that commentator didn't know either. But he used that to make this point. And I want to make this point again, and we've talked about this as we've talked about parables. He said, caution. Don't try to read meaning into every little detail. This is a parable, not an allegory. An allegory is a story that everything is symbolized and symbolizes something else. A parable doesn't have that meaning. And so it's hard for us to be able to say, well, the five foolish virgins mean this, or the five wise mean this, or the lamp means this, or the oil means this. And indeed, I read several commentators who tried to describe the lamp as one thing and the oil meant something else. And unfortunately, Scripture doesn't tell us. Jesus didn't explain all those elements. And I would give a word of caution about trying to read every meaning into every little detail. Remember, this is a parable with one main meaning. And in the context that we're reading in this parable in Matthew 24 and 25, Jesus is teaching about his second coming and the need for people to be ready and prepared for his second coming. And that point driven home by this parable. And I think as we look at the parable, we need to consider that and not so much the detail of what every little element is about. Why 10? I don't know. It's the number Jesus chose. And he says they took lamps and went to meet the groom. It would, if the celebration was at night, and obviously it was, they would need lamps to light the way. They would, whereas we have street lights and that type of thing, and you know they had lamps, and so they took their lamps and went. First, starting in verse 2, five of them were foolish and five were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil in the flask along with their lamps. The idea here is that five of the bridesmaids took lamps, which was kind of a dish with oil in it and a kind of a spout out that where the wick would burn out of that oil. Well, five of them brought their lamps and brought a flask of oil. The other five just brought their lamps and didn't bring any extra oil. The term foolish that's used here, and we've talked about this word before, is the Greek word moros, which is the word we get moron from. And its literal, in its meaning, comes the idea of dull or inattentive. Particularly in this interpretation of the word foolish is unthinking, who were unprepared, they were unready. These foolish maids took insufficient oil with them to keep their lamps burning through the whole wedding procession. Although they wanted to participate in the celebration, one commentator wrote, they displayed a lack of respect for the bride and the broom, though they, through their neglect of the responsibility to come prepared, they demonstrated their unworthiness of the honor of participating in the celebration. Their faithless will not enter heaven, he goes on to say, but their lack of preparation in this life, they reveal a lack of respect for the Messiah. How a person sees Jesus is the key to his or her eternal destiny. The idea here is that the foolish maids had not prepared well. They had not come ready for the wedding celebration and all of the things that would be involved in that, which includes a delay, as we see here in a moment. They showed, in a sense, a disrespect. Have you ever gone to a wedding and everyone was dressed to a T and all of the wedding party in tuxes and beautiful gowns and everyone else in beautiful dresses and suits and ties, and in walks somebody with flip-flops and cutoffs and a T-shirt? Seem about rather out of place, wouldn't they? They weren't quite prepared for a wedding. That's the idea that we see here, as we saw last time in the parable talking about the wedding feast, that the person was not dressed in the appropriate wedding garment that we saw last week. Here, these foolish maids had not come prepared and were not ready. The prudent, or the wise maids, there were five wise bridesmaids who demonstrated their respect and love for the bride and bridegroom by coming well prepared with oil to keep their torches burning throughout the procession. Similarly, the faithful will enter heaven, and by their preparation in this life, they reveal a love and respect for the Messiah. So the idea there is that those who are ready show their honor and respect for the bride and groom. Verse 5. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. First off, we see here that there was a delay. The bridegroom's delay represents, in the interpretation of the parable, represents the fact that Jesus says the Messiah, his coming again has been delayed. You know, we see the disciples thinking that Jesus was going to come again, you know, real soon, right after the resurrection and ascension. But instead, Jesus has delayed and delayed, and now almost 2,000 years have gone by, and yet he's still delaying. He's not come yet. Well, the bridegroom here was delayed. Jesus in the story didn't have to tell us why, but you know, we could kind of figure out, well, something was, some reason or another, he was delayed. The wedding did not go according to schedule. So he was delayed. All 10 of the bridesmaids got drowsy and began to sleep. You know, I read somewhere or another in several books through the years and whatnot where they talk about trying to read a meaning into they got sleepy. Well, Jesus, it's just part of the story that Jesus is telling. Here are the bridesmaids. The hour is late. They got sleepy. All five, all 10 of them did. There's no different distinction between the wise and the foolish. They all got drowsy and began to sleep. Verse 6, but at midnight, there was a shout, "Behold the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. Can you hear the cry? Can you hear the trumpet blow, as the song says and Scripture says? Can you hear the announcement being made? They're coming, they're coming. And everybody stirs to get up and get ready. And they trim their lamps. They make sure their lights, they relight them or get them ready. And what happens? Verse 7, and all the virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. Verse 8, the foolish said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." And the prudent answered, "No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." Have you ever been in where the electricity went out and you reached for your trusty old flashlight and turned it on and there was just this very dim light at the coming on the flashlight? Yeah, that happens a lot. And that's the exact idea of what was going on here. Here are the lamps, and the five foolish, all of their oil was going or gone, and it just was not enough for the ceremony. So they say, "Give us your oil. You've got extra oil. Give us some oil." And the prudent say, "No. There will not be enough for us and you to go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourself." I kind of thought about that in my flashlight idea. And if you've got two flashlights and both of them, one's bright and one is extremely dim, if you take one battery out of one and put it in the other battery and replace it so that you have, what, two dim lights? It doesn't work to replace that like just one out of the two batteries, you've got to replace both batteries. And so here the foolish are going to have enough oil for their lamps. The foolish were unprepared, especially for the long wait. The prudent had enough oil for their own lamps, but not enough to share. So I stopped to think about that in the commentaries and whatnot that I read. Talked about the fact that each person must make his own preparation for the groom's coming. And as we'll see in a few moments, and we'll talk about it again, but the idea here is that you cannot be saved for someone else. There are some religious groups who even baptize people in the name of other people, even their descendants who've gone past and who've long since been dead, and baptize them into this religion in order for them to be a part of it. You cannot be saved for somebody else. It is an individual decision. The prudent had made the decision. They had brought the appropriate material. The foolish did not. One commentator said, preparedness cannot be transferred or shared. Preparedness cannot be transferred or shared. Jeff Iorg commented this way. This must seem selfish, but not really. If the oil was divided, all the lamps would burn out. At least this way, five brightly burning lamps would greet the groom when he finally arrived. The statement does not reveal selfishness, but rather underscores the thoughtful preparation of the five sensible maidens were making for the groom's arrival. This underscores there the five foolish virgins' lack of judgment and lack of preparedness. The idea here has nothing to do with selfishness, but it has to do with being prepared or not prepared. Verse 10. And while they were going away to make the purchases, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. That phrase, the door was shut, just rang in my, as I thought about that, and just drove home the point that Jesus was emphasizing that the coming finality of an opportunity to enter the kingdom of heaven. There is a certain finality to it. I remember watching when the astronauts would climb aboard those huge rockets, the Apollo missions, and that they would show them climbing into the Apollo capsule, and that big door would clang shut. I thought about one of the movies I saw where the nuclear, facility, the warhead missile facility out in the mountains, and has that huge, almost like a vault door, in one of those episodes where it clanged shut. And once it was shut, you couldn't open it for a certain amount of time. Here Jesus says, and the door was shut. The door was shut forever. Jesus' return consummates his kingdom. The locked door would be a powerful cultural symbol of exclusion and separation and rejection. Those that had entered the wedding feast were there. Those on the outside could not enter. Verse 11 and 12. Later the other virgins came and saying, Lord, Lord, open up for us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Normally in a wedding feast in that time period, and even today, most wedding feasts, if somebody arrives late, you know, they're let in, and they're able to come to the wedding feast. Well, Jesus is making a statement here, and here In this story, those that came late could not enter. The phrase, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you," was a blunt statement of absolute rejection. Jesus was very clear. If you wait too long to enter the kingdom, you will be locked out and left behind when the kingdom is consummated. Their lack of preparation condemned them. Ample time had been given, but time was up. It was too late. Verse 12 makes that emphatic statement. There is no negotiating. No future relationship. It's over and done with. Brought to mind a song that sang as a teenager. Life was filled with guns and wars, and everyone got trampled on the floor. I wish we had all been ready. Children dead, the day grew cold. A piece of bread would buy a bag of gold. I wish we had all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come, and you've been left behind. The next verse says, man and wife asleep in bed. She hears a noise and turns her head. He's gone. I wish we'd all been ready. Two men coming up a hill, and one disappears, and one left standing still. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. How could you have been so blind? The Father spoke, the demon dined. The Son has come, and you've been left behind. You've been left behind. Verse 13. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day or nor the hour. Be on the alert. Jesus ends this parable restating the truth. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day or the hour. He's reemphasizing his main point that he stated back in chapter 24, verse 42, where he says, therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. Jesus is driving home that point. The point of his discourse and the point of this parable. Be on the alert, for you do not know the day or the hour. You do not know the day which the Lord is coming. Jeff Iorg says, we are told to be on the alert because we do not know when Jesus will return. Alertness and preparedness are closely connected in this parable. Being on the alert for Jesus' return does not mean that we think of nothing else, but that what we make preparing for it a priority. Another commentator says, our preparedness for Christ's coming demonstrates our personal trust and respect for Him. So we've looked at the parable. The meaning of the parable, as we've stated over and over again tonight, is that Jesus is coming again and we must be ready. We must be prepared. We must be on the alert. This parable of the 10 virgins comes at the end of this teaching on being ready for the second coming, and it reinforces the principle, be ready. And this parable continues to exhort Jesus' disciples toward watchfulness, being ready for His coming again. Some of the applications for the parable as we come to the end here. First, and we've said it over and over again, we must be ready for Jesus to come again. We must be ready, be prepared, and be alert. Second, be ready by accepting Jesus. You may think that you're ready for Christ's return since you live a good life or attend church or care for your family or otherwise are a good person, one commentator wrote, and he continued, if so, you are trusting in inadequate preparation. The only preparation acceptable is conversion through repentance and faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Through Jesus, you are prepared. Without Jesus, you are unprepared. It's as simple as that. So be ready by accepting Jesus. Third point I want to mention in the application is that salvation and entrance into the kingdom is a personal decision. Waylon Bailey, one of my professors at New Orleans Seminary, said it this way, preparedness is not transferable. Preparedness is not transferable. No one is saved because of someone else or how they're related to someone else. Just because you may be a child of a preacher, you're not saved because you're a child of the preacher. Franklin Graham was not saved because he was the son of Billy Graham. Franklin Graham was saved because he trusted Jesus Christ. It is a personal decision. It is a one-on-one. You cannot be saved for someone else. You must make the decision yourself. You must prepare personally for Jesus' return. Next point of application is don't wait to be too late. Don't wait till it's too late. You may think that you will always have another chance, but the time will end. With life ending or with Jesus coming again, it'll be too late, and eternity's door will be shut. I do not imagine that the woman in, what was it, Spring, Texas, yesterday when she went with her, was it three-day-old baby? When she went to the doctor's office, she did not anticipate that would be her last moments on earth. If you hadn't heard the story, the lady came out of the doctor's office and somebody grabbed her child, shot her and grabbed her child and took the child. Yes, they have found the child and they have a person of interest in custody. It was the last time I read. But that lady, that new mother, did not know that just in a few hours she was no longer on earth. Don't wait till it's too late. We don't know when our time on earth will end. Maybe now, maybe a few seconds from now, it may be many years from now, but we don't know when that might be. Don't wait to make the decision for Christ. And for us who are believers, two application points. We must live expecting Jesus to return every day. It may be today. It may be tonight. He may come in the next second or it may be another 1,000 years. But we must live expecting Jesus to return. John W. Peterson, a hymn writer and songwriter, wrote these words, coming again, maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon. Coming again, oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again. Another hymn writer, Wilbur Chapman, wrote, living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. We must live expecting Jesus to return. And second, we must tell others how to be ready. The fact that we have the answer of how people can know Christ and can be ready for His coming, we must share that answer. We must share the gospel. We must lead others to Jesus. So in conclusion, our thoughts are this. Are you ready? Are you ready for the second coming of Jesus? Are you prepared for His return? The parable of the 10 virgins illustrates that some people think they're ready, and yet they are not. Are you prepared? For those without Christ, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, he says, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Are you ready for Christ? Will you accept Him today? Now is the time to confess your sins and repent. Now is the time to turn to Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Now is the time to be saved. And for those who have received His gift of salvation, will you be faithful to follow Jesus every day? The King says, do not delay. Don't put off faithfulness. I am coming. Now is the time to be obedient to His commands. Now is the time to be ready and prepared for His coming. Let's pray. Lord, you are coming again. Oh, what a glorious day that will be for those who are ready and prepared. Help us to be that. To live lives that would bring glory and honor to you. Help us to share your great love with those who are not ready, so that they too may be prepared for your coming. Oh, what a day that will be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by The Upward Look. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or The Upward Look, go to the website www.upwardlook.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.